From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. It's Idaho Matters. As we get further into summer and temperatures continue to rise, so does the risk of heat stroke. Across the U.S., an average of 702 people die from heat-related illnesses every year, and that's according to the CDC. Here in Idaho, we've already had our first heat-related death of 2023. So while heat stroke can be deadly, it is also preventable. Joining us now to give us some tips on how to stay safe in the sun is Dr. Christine Hahn. She's the medical director in the Idaho Division of Public Health. Welcome back, Dr. Hahn.
Thank you.
Tell me, what is heat stroke? Define heat stroke for me.
Yeah, so heat stroke is something we've all heard of, but when we think about it, we're not always clear on what it is. Medically, it's defined as an illness with an elevated core body temperature, so not just your skin feeling warm, but your actual core body temperature being elevated. And heat stroke is a heat-related illness that is so bad that there's actually some confusion or other mental effect. So a person who has actually gone beyond just feeling hot, feeling tired, is actually starting to show signs of a mental dysfunction because of that extreme heat.
Gotcha. And then there's heat stroke and heat exhaustion.
Exactly. So exhaustion often can precede the heat stroke symptoms. Sometimes it happens so fast, you don't really notice that you're going through that phase. But heat exhaustion has some of the symptoms we all think about when you're very hot, feeling very tired, weak, maybe a little bit dizzy, and actually kind of dry. The temperature, body temperature might be elevated, but the mental, the mind is still clear. The person's able to speak and act normally. They're just very, very overheated at that point.
Gotcha. And you talk about overheated. What's going on inside the body when this is happening? I mean, this has got to be really doing a lot to all kinds of things in your body.
Yeah, it's extremely stressful on the body. I think most of us that live in Idaho have found ourselves at some point out in the sun and going, whoa, maybe I didn't, I forgot my hat or I didn't plan on this. We've all been out floating the river or hiking and had this experience. The body is trying, of course, desperately to cool itself, mostly initially by bringing more blood flow to the skin. That's why, especially for those of us with lighter skin, we notice we're looking, people go, wow, you look really red, or you might notice a change in your skin color. You might notice your heart is going a little faster, you're breathing a little faster, your body's trying to get heat out. And that's the main focus. And of course, hopefully we're thinking about what's happening and taking our own personal actions as well to get out of the sun, get some fluids in us before it gets worse. Resting, drinking, eating, et cetera. So just really trying to prevent it from getting so bad that we need medical attention.
Gotcha. And let's talk more about that prevention. You mentioned hat. Hat is very good. What else should we be doing? I know you should wear looser clothing, maybe?
Yeah. So I always kind of start from the very beginning, which is when you're sitting in your house and you're thinking, maybe it's a good day for a hike, or maybe we should go for a hike tomorrow, or when you're starting to plan your activity is when it all starts. First thing is, boy, if you can do it, get up early in the morning or go out late in the evening. Try to avoid those hot times of the day. I have forced myself to get up as early as 4 o'clock in the morning when I was doing the Boise Trail Challenge a few years ago, and it was so hot, we can remember, in 2021. That's extreme, but I would urge people to get up there and get out there in the morning when it's nice and cool. So that's number one. The second thing is, like you say, wearing the right clothing. I'm amazed how often I have to remind my family to grab a hat. It can be incredibly protective. Loose fitting stuff, even if it's a long sleeve thing, if it's very loosely fitting, that can protect you from the sun. The other thing is, once you're out there, what do you bring with you? Bring water. The amount of water, boy, I've read several references trying to come up with a solid recommendation, and it really varies. It depends on you, how much you sweat, how exertional your activity is going to be, the day, the temperature. But most people start with, make sure that you're drinking about a liter every 2 hours. Now, that's a very rough start. And I think most of us that go out regularly, we know by now how much we need, but if anything, overpack that water. I have one of those little backpacks that has a water, you know, a bladder in it, so you can carry your water on your back. It's a lot easier than carrying multiple water bottles.
I love those things. Those are great. Okay, let's hold it there on fluids, okay? You shouldn't wait, I understand, until you're thirsty to start drinking water, right?
Exactly. I think, you know, you have to listen to your body. And certainly if you feel thirsty, take a lot of sips. One thing I love about those water hydration packs or backpacks is you can kind of take frequent sips on the trail. You don't have to stop or, and again, I'm sticking with a hiking scenario, but even if you're out gardening or you're out, you know, in other settings, being able to take water frequently, small sips. And if you're going to be out more than an hour, you might want to start thinking about more of a electrolyte fluid, like a Gatorade or something else. There are tablets you can bring with you that have electrolytes so that you're replacing those salts that you're losing while you're sweating.
And you want to be careful with those, too. If you have diabetes or high blood pressure, you want to make sure you're taking the right kind of drink.
Yeah, that's a very good point. If you have a medical condition that you might want to check, be careful about. You do need some sugars. You do need to replace some sugars as you're burning energy, as you're exercising. But do be mindful of your own health and your health conditions. I don't want to forget to mention, not everybody chooses to be outside. We have a homeless population, of course, throughout the state. It's important for people that can't, that have to be outside during the day to also seek shade, to stay as hydrated as possible. There's lots of things that can be done, for folks like that. Also athletes, you know, we have folks in my family who are already doing sports activities, getting ready for the fall, making sure that they're staying hydrated, that they're getting frequent checks and resting a lot. I really do worry about our young athletes who don't want to admit that they're maybe getting a little bit overheated, don't want to appear weak. It's super important to stay hydrated and to protect yourself.
And before we leave liquids, I'm guessing it's not a good idea to take a couple of shots of whiskey and then some Red Bulls before I go out jogging.
Yeah, thank you, Samantha, for bringing that up. Alcohol is an absolute no-no. We've all been to, let's say, a concert, an outdoor festival or concert where the temptation to have a drink or a beer and you're out there in the hot sun, very tough combination on your body. We do recommend avoiding any sort of alcohol when you're out in the sun. And like you say, the Red Bull, I think people think of that as hydration. I'm drinking a fluid. But some of those can be those high energy drinks with a lot of caffeine in them. They can be dehydrating in a way. They have a little bit of a diuretic effect. You really want to avoid those and really stick with more your Gatorade or your water type of replacement drinks.
Gotcha. And as long as we're talking about eating and drinking, you know, the worst thing I can do before going outside to do some strenuous activity in the heat is to eat a giant meal. It just makes me feel terrible.
Yes, absolutely. It diverts all that blood flow I was talking about earlier. It's trying to get to your skin to keep you cool. If you eat a big, heavy meal, a lot of blood flow gets diverted right to your stomach, right, to help you digest. You got a lot of work going on. And it can actually impair your ability to stay cool and comfortable. So absolutely, eat light, drink fluids before you go out. That's for sure. Make sure you're hydrated at the get-go, but avoid those hot and heavy meals.
Gotcha. We're talking to Dr. Christine Hahn, Medical Director in the Idaho Division of Public Health. We're talking about heat stroke, heat exhaustion, some of the ways to prevent it. And if we haven't followed all this good advice, what do we do? If I see somebody, we're out in the yard or we're out jogging and somebody starts exhibiting some of these symptoms you're talking about, what do I do to help them out?
Yeah, that's super important. It's so important to be aware, not only of your own body and how you're feeling, but look at the people around you, very young children, senior citizens, people with any health conditions are particularly at risk of not being able to stay cool. So keep an eye out for your friends and neighbors for sure. Anybody, the first thing is to try to get out of the heat and the sun. So if you can get somebody indoors, get them to sit down, get them into shade. If you're out and you can't get into an indoor setting, get them into a shady setting, let them rest. And as long as they are not at the point of heat stroke, you know, if they're just heat exhaustion or some earlier milder symptoms, getting them to start drinking fluids, sipping fluids. We don't recommend glugging fluids, sip them. That is extremely important. If they're at the point of heat stroke, hopefully it won't ever come to that. But at that point, you want to use external methods of cooling them down, you know, wet compresses or wet cloths. Call 911, call for medical help at that stage, but don't have them drink fluids because of that confusion. They could actually choke on that or not swallow it correctly. We don't recommend doing that.
Gotcha, gotcha. And you mentioned wet cloths or ice, I would think, and put it on those parts of the body like the head or the neck.
Exactly, exactly. Where blood is flowing and you can cool the body down quickly. Yes, if you have ice available, like from an ice chest, if you're out camping or something and you have ice available, that is wonderful to help cool down the body. Just wrap that in towel, you know, don't put it right on the skin, wrap it in towels or some sort of cloth and apply it to various points around the body.
Gotcha. And I think I saw in some of the information that you folks send out that if someone is throwing up, that that's a really bad sign.
Yes. Certain things should let you know you need to call medical help. I mentioned the mental changes for sure. Vomiting, or if the person's getting worse, you're trying to cool them down. It's been an hour. They're not saying, oh, I feel a lot better. I think I'm ready to walk on home, or I'm ready. If they're not getting better, call for medical help. This can be quite a medical emergency.
Absolutely. And we mentioned that we had our first heat-related death of the year here in Idaho just recently. Do we get a lot of heat cases like in Idaho hospitals? Is this a common thing?
Yeah, actually, and I want to mention, Samantha, we just have one, since we sent out our press release about that first death, we have received a second report from Northern Idaho of a senior citizen. This is not yet finalized. But we believe we've had a second death in a senior citizen. And then just yesterday, I read in the media, I don't have anything official, but I read through media reports yesterday that a child apparently in Northern Idaho died in a hot car. So just a reminder of, you know, we talk about hot cars and children and pets, and I think people are mostly aware, but it does continue to occur, these types of very, very unfortunate accidents. But those are the tip of the iceberg, right? When we hear about a death that makes the news, we're aware of it. But for every death that's reported, we know that we do have people showing up in our emergency department, sometimes even being hospitalized with severe heat-related illness. So yes, the ER docs will tell you they are seeing people starting to come in. I did call some of the homeless shelters in the Boise area yesterday, and they are starting to, they do have some options for homeless populations like heat cooling shelters. Corpus Christi, of course, the Boise Rescue Mission said when it gets to about 95 degrees, they'll open those cooling shelters. So we do urge people to get inside if they, during the heat of the day for the most part.
And you mentioned one of the folks who may have died from heat-related illness was a senior citizen. Are there people who are more at risk? You mentioned the homeless populations, obviously because they're kind of stuck outside. But are there people who are more at risk, people with medical conditions?
Totally. So we've already talked about the outdoor recreationist, the hiker who gets overheated and doesn't realize it. That's one of our most common concerns here in Idaho. Especially, I'll narrate a small incident happened to me. My parents were visiting me years ago, and I took them on a hike that I thought was very reasonable. But my mother became a little bit overheated, and I quickly turned around and got them back to the car. Just a reminder, when we have our guests coming in, they're not necessarily used to the heat, the dry, the altitude. You put that all together, the intense sun. So that is definitely one of our risk groups in Idaho. But the folks that are more senior citizens, especially anyone of any age who is on certain medications, blood pressure medications, some of the anxiety medications, some antihistamines can make it harder to sweat. So some of our prescription medications or even over-the-counter medications can also put you at risk. So it's good to check up on that for yourself. And see if that might be something you need to consider.
All right. We've been speaking with Dr. Christine Hahn, the medical director in the Idaho Division of Public Health, about how to stay safe in the heat. Thank you so much for these great tips.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very glad to spread this information. It's really important.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.